Man, Channing Crowder just shared something interesting with me. Channing, you're an alien truther? Like, you believe that they're out there?
I know they're out
there. Like, okay, so do you know that, like, they're out there somewhere else, like on another planet, or are they actually among us, like Men in Black style?
Oh, they're among us, too, but they're somewhere else, and they have it nice, because there's no way we're the smartest things. Listen.
Yeah, I find that hard to believe. I think it's very arrogant to think that we're the smartest group of life forms in the entire galaxy or universe.
I just saw a picture of Mars. It looked like a kid with acne. Did you see that picture when they took it from Mars?
I saw that one, no.
Yeah,
no,
they just had a picture of Mars recently.
Really?
And we're so naive to think that since we can't get to, you know, Saturn and Pluto, nobody else can come to us. It's silly. There's aliens out there. They're smarter than us. And they're trying to warn us about stuff. We just don't listen. I know there's aliens.
Yeah, like we were just talking about the movie Arrival, where they were trying to give us valuable information, the aliens. We tried to shoot them down. That's probably how that would go in real life, right?
Like, exactly.
Look, if they come down to see us, they may be actually trying to share some wisdom with us. We're just going to assume they're hostile.
Yep. And we're going to shoot them.
Is that how they talk?
I don't know, but if they did, we wouldn't know what they said.
That sounds a lot like your Pepe Le Pew impression.
No, hey, mi amor, amuki, amuki, amuka, amuka.
I think you sound more Italian.
Question. Are there any French gangs? I speak French. I'm not fluent, but I can. Je m'appelle James. Can I join your gang, s'il vous plaît?
That's Crowder when he was trying to pick up women in college.
That was earlier.
French.
We had on was Mike Matheson.
Yeah, he was fluent in French.
So I was asking him, is it easier to pick up a woman with speaking French to speak English because it's the language of love? I thought it was a legit question.
I think that was probably the best question you've asked all day.
But yes, I mean, if you don't think there's aliens out there, you're silly.
But do you think, like, they could be, like, in, like, South Florida? Like, are they around us, or are they just watching us from far away?
No, they have a way to get a suit, or they hide, or become invisible like the Predator. Something's going on, Donald. I know one thing. They're not E.T., all soft and curled up and dried out, eating Reese's Pieces.
That's because he was on this planet and below. He had to get back to his planet.
But, Donald, they're just too smart to come down here looking like E.T., getting beat up and had to ride in a bat. An alien.
It's a fantastic movie, E.T.
They come from a billion miles away, and he can't get around. He needs to sit in a bike basket.
It's a super. He was dying, E.T. They had to get him back home before he died.
Man, he'll hit his little arm, beep, 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 and they suck him up somewhere.
Literally none of that happened in that movie.
That's the problem. That's why E.T., they should let me be around it. Steven Spielberg messed up.
Do you see this this Winston Moss story? I saw his tweets coming out yesterday. He's the former associate head coach and outside linebackers coach of the Green Bay Packers. And yeah, I love Winston Moss for his University of Miami ties. So, you know, recently Joe Philbin became the interim head coach of the Green Bay Packers. I'm sure he's going to go on to many a Super Bowl victory in Green Bay. I have the utmost faith in Joe Philbin to win big things back home with the Packers. But Winston Moss tweeted this. Ponder this. What championship teams have great leadership, period. It's not the offensive guru trend. It's not the safe trend. Find somebody that is going to hold number 12 and everybody in this building to a hashtag Lombardi standard, period. Hashtag losing sucks. And then a couple of hours later, Moss tweets out, the Packers have informed me that they are letting me go. Hashtag thanks, Twitter. I mean, what a turn of events. And Joe Philbin later came out and basically denied that they fired him because of that tweet. But I don't know, man. Crazier things have happened than being fired over a tweet that looks critical over where you work. I think we've seen that happen before.
But you don't perpetuate the turmoil. You just fired Mike McCarthy, who is the most, you know, he's the third longest tenured coach?
Yeah, and he did win a Super Bowl there.
Won a Super Bowl.
Feels like a long time ago now, but he did win a Super Bowl there.
He's been there for 10 plus years. How long was McCarthy there? 10, 15 years? He's been there a while.
13 years, I believe it was.
13? Wow. So that's going on. That transition is going on.
Crowder, I can remember finding out that Mike McCarthy became the head coach at Green Bay by hearing Hank Goldberg with the breaking news. 13 years. So that goes to show you how long ago it was. I got the breaking news from Hank Goldberg 13 years ago.
And you have a Hall of Fame quarterback. You haven't won a Super Bowl. That was 08?
Yeah.
That was the 08 year they won it? So you haven't won a Super Bowl in 10 years with Aaron Rodgers for 10 years. The turmoil's there. Why would you perpetuate that by tweeting out all the leadership? And the first thing he goes to is offensive guru when the offensive coordinator just got the job. I know what you're saying, but you like his ties to the UM and all, but that was a terrible mistake by him. Wrong timing. Wrong timing. If he did that 3 weeks ago, I think he's still there. Terrible timing by coach.
Was when you were still playing, was Twitter already a thing? I think it maybe got a little bit bigger after you retired, but like, were guys ever getting in trouble for tweeting things out back then?
No, I retired in 2011, and that's right when it kind of picked up.
We had, when it blew up, right?
Facebook and MySpace.
Well, and that was back when you had to like have a .edu email to, like, you had to be a college student or a recent college student to have Facebook. Now it's like 10-year-olds are on there. It's a whole disaster. Yeah. And my parents are on there.
I never got into it because that just gave a way for girls to tell on you.
Oh,
with him. If I'm not on the, I don't have a name of the name. Oh, stage name? What do they call it? Stage names for strippers. What do they call it? MySpace name?
Like an alias.
Then they could call
username.
You out. Username. If you don't have a username, they can't username you. So that's why I didn't like it. I never had Facebook or MySpace.
Do you have it to this day, Facebook?
Nope.
Wow.
I got Twitter and Instagram for work, and I'm terrible on them because I don't like to tell people what I'm doing.
I think you're all right on Twitter.
But people just know if they know what you're doing, then they can rob you.
Well, you don't have to say where you are.
You can do the math. If I'm riding, if I tweet
something. They know I'm not home, so they know they can just have full free reign on anything I have in my house.
Yeah, and you can rob me. Or if I say, hey, you know, South Beach, eating at Prime 112. Oh, take a picture of me and my wife at Prime 112. Now you know.
You got to know not to do that. Or if you really want to tweet about the dinner you had, tweet about it after you already leave the restaurant. That's what you do.
I'm not trying to do no 007 tweeting. I don't want a guy to wait in the bushes and bust me in the back of the head.
Well, you do realize, like, as a radio professional, I think it's very important to be on top of that. Like, I think it's going to bring more ears to your program. So I think that's kind of part of your job, no?
I retweet some tweets that Hawk and Lero send.
Well, and I mention you in a lot of tweets, and I barely get a retweet from you.
Well, I got you, bro.
All right.
Now you just show me a little sensitive about it. I'm going to retweet
I'm
you.
A little bit sensitive about it. I got you.
Maybe you're my dude, man.
I did tweet out the video earlier of you sharpening your pencil with a pocket knife.
Is that a problem? And Twitter was killing me.
Honestly,
1970?
I don't think the issue, like, people are kind of missing my point a little bit. The issue wasn't the fact that you're sharpening the pencil with a pocket knife so much as, why do you carry around number two pencils when you're a grown man? Like, it's very strange.
Writing utensils. Why are you so anti-pencil?
Because pens are just so much better.
But a pen runs out. Think about this, too. You never know when a pen's running out.
That's why I have a spare.
But then you have to have two pens.
But you got to have a sharpener or a knife to get your pencil ready.
I know exactly when my pencil's running out because it gets real, real little. And when they get it to lottery size, then I go get me a new pencil. Genius.
Let's hear from Ryan Tannehill. Here's Ryan Tannehill addressing the media today. Oh, Tannehill says he would love to run more RPO.
I'm game for that. You know, I think it's something that we have in the game plan almost every week, if not every week. Some games it comes up more than others. You know, you think back to the Jets game early on. You know, it came up a lot. Depends on how the teams are playing us. You know, how we're going to call it, whether it's a handoff or a keep. Really all just depends on the look.
Should that be incorporated more with the Dolphins offense, Crowder?
Yeah, because it's been successful when they did it. But if he hurts his knee again or his shoulder, you're going to feel real silly.
That's the problem. And speaking on that shoulder, here's Tannehill on the status of that recovery injury.
The shoulder's definitely feeling better. Still not 100%, but it's definitely trending in the right direction. Every day that goes by, it just feels a little better. Week goes by, it feels a little better. So really excited about how things are progressing there.
Here's Tannehill on something we were just talking about, the pocket presence, the game management ship. It's not a word. I just created it. Here's Tannehill on knowing how long he can hold on to the football.
I mean, you have a clock in your head. You know, I think that's just something that's ingrained over time. You know, whether you're playing in the backyard or you know, playing out here on Sundays. You know, you have a clock in your head. You have a rhythm of when guys are supposed to be open, when they should be breaking, and all that types of things. So all that comes into account of the clock in your head, right? Sometimes the clock happens faster because the route should happen faster. Sometimes it's a little more longer developing because the routes are further downfield.
But Crowder, is that clock in his head, is it accurate, or is it more like one of those antique watches you have to like wind up every 3 hours because they start running a little slow?
I think he either pivoted on the question or misinterpreted the question. They weren't talking about the timing of a route clock. They're talking about the get your ass knocked out clock. The timing of route clock is it, yeah. You've done it. It takes him 2.5 seconds to run this 15-yard post, the bang eight, whatever it is. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about, hey, what we talked about earlier with him. First option, second option, third option. There is going to be somebody big about to bust me in my head here soon. Let me move, let me step up, or let me throw the ball out of bounds. Those are the things that we all, to be honest, we all need Tannehill to improve on. The knowledge of knowing the times run out, and this time, this play is a situation to throw it out of bounds and get the 2nd and 10 or get the 3rd and 8 and not 3rd and 15, 3rd and 17. Those are the, that's the timing I'm talking about. Tannehill was talking about the route timing.
Got
which
you.
That's him and receivers can do that every day after practice, all day at practice. We're talking about the times to get you knocked out, not timing of a route.
Here's Tannehill on the Pats defense and how they're always changing.
They're always going to throw some wrinkles at you, you know, whether it's a pressure or, you know, playing a little more like bear cover 2 than they've shown on tape or whatever it may be. They are always going to throw some sort of wrinkle at you. They're going to have a wrinkle on 1st and 2nd down. They're going to have a wrinkle on 3rd down, changing up the pressure. Maybe it's a personnel. They're going to throw a lot of different personnels at you, whether it's dime, dollar, nickel, big. I mean, they're going to throw everything at you and try to, you know, make you take all that into account and figure out what they're doing.
Now, Crowder, you of course, you never faced the Pats defense being a defensive player, but I'm sure it's something you observed. I'm sure it's probably something that the Dolphins coaches maybe tried to steal a few tricks from. Yeah. What do you say about the kind of things that Belichick has been running there?
Oh, it's the hybrid 3-4. It's the same thing Dom Capers runs, the same thing. Nick Saban actually runs the same type of defense.
Right.
It's a 3-4 hybrid.
Yeah.
It's what it is. It confuses you. You go even with the nose guard as the 11th man, so the field is equal with 5 and 5 on each side. The nose guard is the 0, and then you got 5, so you can't count a mic really because the mic can move back and forth. It confuses you there. Then you throw 6 DBs in the game. Then you throw 5 DBs in the game. Then you go big front, and you go elephant. You go heavy. There is literally in that package the Nick Saban, Belichick, Dom Capers. They run it. They try to run it like Georgia a lot now with Kirby. 7 fronts, and off those fronts, another 10 blitzes off each front, and then coverages behind that. Like, it's once you learn the defense and like how Belichick has it, where they didn't change it when Matt Patricia left, they still run the same defense. Belichick knows it like the back of his hand. It is difficult to prepare because you have to prepare for every play you have. You have to prepare for every single one of those fronts. Very difficult to prepare
compared to what you just said, which was like you were like a professor, like teaching me a lot of stuff that went over my head. How complex is the Dolphins defense compared to what you just described?
Half.
Okay.
They have nickel dime. They have some quarter stuff, but they don't have that 3-4. They don't have the bodies to do it.
Right.
They don't have
That's
those stand up outside backers. They would have to transition Charles Harrison to a stand up outside guy. Jerome Baker's not big enough to be an outside linebacker in a 3-4. So they're built to be a 4-3, but they built themselves to be a 4-3.
Yeah.
Robert Quinn, they know he can only play in a 4-3 because when his production went down is when the Rams went to a 3-4, and that's when he went from 16 sacks to 3 sacks because he's not a stand-up outside backer. He's more of a defensive end hand in the dirt. So they're structured to be a 4-3. If they tried to get in 3-4, their bodies wouldn't allow them to. Their backers aren't big enough to take on the guards, and they're not structured in the front. You need one of those. A nose guard isn't Jordan Phillips or who is Vincent Taylor and those guys. I'm talking about a Keith Traylor. A Vincent Wilfork, a Haloti Ngata, one of those guys, a Pico from Cincinnati, one of those built guys, the big bellies, the deep belly buttons, 380, 6'4", big bar down the middle of their face mask, you know, eating anything that just gets in the way of their face like an alligator. That's what you need in a nose guard. We don't have the players to play a 3-4, so therefore we can only do about half of what the Patriots do schematically.
How about we revisit the Hassan Whiteside conversation on the other side? Because Ira Winderman just shot me a text. He can join us when we come back. You're listening to Hockman and Crowder Show. Dono in for Hawk here on QAM.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
And I want to get on top of this Hassan Whiteside story. Ira Winderman joins us now. He's powered by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. Call 1-800-747-FREE. That's 1-800-747-3733. So after the game last night, Hassan Whiteside was not in the locker room, was working on his free throw shooting on the practice court. But Ira, he did speak to the media today. What did Whiteside have to say about leaving the bench with 40 seconds left on the clock last night?
Well, doing my duty and flush with details, I can tell everyone now that Hassan said it simply was a bathroom break.
Are you buying that, though?
No. I was expecting the drum okay. roll or something. I was expecting the drum roll or something from Falero there. It was off with the timing again. No, first of all, let's go in order of what happened today. And this is why I wanted to call in after doing the show earlier when we didn't have details. We saw, you know, at 2 o'clock the press conference started in Miami. Eric Spoelstra basically comes out and says it's unacceptable and it will be and it has been addressed. Okay, we still didn't know what it was. Eric Spoelstra left it at that. He clearly wants to move on. Then Hassan Whiteside comes out, and the video is posted at SunSentinel.com. I'm sure you can get some sound on. You have some sound on it. And Hassan basically says, "I just had to go to the bathroom. I couldn't hold it in any longer."
Oh my God.
And I'm like, so I mean, I even try to make some calls. Like, what? So basically, Eric Spoelstra is banning bathroom breaks. Like, it doesn't.
He's a tyrant, this Spoelstra. Like, how can we let this continue?
It doesn't. I mean, even Nick Saban. I mean, Channing can address that, but even Nick Saban.
Now, Channing used to go in his pants.
He'll let you go to the bathroom.
Yeah. Well, it's like, I mean, you know, or Channing, it wouldn't matter. He'd just keep going as he did during his career. But that's another story for a different show. But yeah, I you know what? It's kind of weird. Usually you try to, and I got to really watch my phrasing here, just clean things up like this and move on. And instead, I've got so many more questions than I did before. So if you're honest about it and saying my frustrations boiled over, I was wrong, it would be a lot easier for me to move on. If you're saying, no, I had to go to the bathroom and that's the only reason, man, I have a hard time. No, I'm not even going to say that. I don't have a hard time believing it. I don't believe it because I can't believe it.
And I know, Ira, you want more information. You know, you want to dig into it. But as the organization, are they saying...
Dig into it? Okay, but keep going.
Yeah, that was bad on my part. But are the Heat, are they saying it's done? No punishment for Hassan? They're taking the bathroom excuse?
No, there's clearly punishment. He said, we met it, we talked about it, it's been handled. So clearly there's punishment. Now, whether that's admonishment or fine, teams are very limited in the NBA, and invariably players appeal and get some of their money, if not all their money, back. It's just a bad look for the team. And two things still didn't get addressed. Foremost, and most importantly, Hassan Whiteside played well enough to play in the fourth quarter
right.
And still didn't. And so the overriding reason for any frustration, because my other question would be this. If Hassan was on the court, I mean, let's be honest. If Hassan was on the court, would the call of whatever have immediately meant he would have left the court in the close game because he couldn't wait anymore? I highly doubt that. If the Heat were winning and the after game would have been high fives and shaking hands with players with the Magic, would he left the court also? So yesterday when we left the building, Eric Spoelstra basically tried to write it off then as saying we were all frustrated and he was showing his frustration. But Channing, if there is frustration, you also have to go to the root cause. And obviously the root cause is not eating a bad burrito. There's something else in play here, and I think we haven't addressed that. We still have not addressed the fact, what will it take for Hassan Whiteside to get fourth quarter minutes and to get a playing time commit and a role commensurate with his contract?
Well, and what's your assessment on that, Ira? You know, I know that they're managing playing time between Hassan, between Bam Adebayo, between Kelly Olynyk, but why do you think Bam Adebayo didn't get the chance to play in that fourth quarter last night?
Why Hassan didn't play in the fourth quarter?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Hassan. Yeah.
Because you can only play so many centers in today's NBA because they have three playing time minutes worthy centers. It's like teams that rotate two quarterbacks or in college three quarterbacks. It doesn't satisfy anybody. Yes, Bam had a very dramatic moment in the game. He was the energizer. Kelly Olynyk was sort of the skill player with his three-point shooting to help bring him back, but that didn't detract from what Hassan did also. This team's motto all year has been sacrifice, that we will sacrifice shots, we will sacrifice playing time, we will sacrifice for the greater good. But guys want to play, and guys want to earn it. If you start 5-for-5 and you start hustling and you start playing well and the minutes aren't there, I think it's kind of obvious. I don't think it's personal. I think Eric Spoelstra, Donald, you and I have done shows with this, feels more comfortable with the other two players than Hassan Whiteside. And I've always said this, and this is not condescending toward Hassan. If Eric Spoelstra only had Bam Adebayo and Kelly Olynyk and didn't have Hassan Whiteside, I think he would feel totally comfortable going through his rotation and going through his season. I think that's the reality.
Ira, is there a problem that this is Hassan has 228 starts for the Heat, played in more games with 228 starts for the Heat, and we're still going through this with him?
No, because Channing, I think you would say no matter how many starts you have, inconsistency breeds these kind of things. So if you're in the lineup every day, but you're so maddeningly inconsistent that you could have a 20-21 game and then the next game you're not nearly the same player, I could see it. He is as up and down as these incidents have been up and down for the Heat also. I know that he's been on a little bit better of a stretch now. His numbers always look good. That's why you have to give it the eye test more than the stats test also. But whatever it takes, he needs the magic key. What unlocks the ultimate confidence in Eric Spoelstra? I thought he was offering a lot of that last night. So I think there's a two-party blame. And Channing, as you know, with the different coaches you played with, I think some players and some coaches hit it off. And I think you've probably seen this over your career. Some players, no matter what they do, the coach just isn't their guy. There just simply isn't a match there.
Like you and Pasqualoni?
It is, yep.
I mean, that's the way it is. And you were playing hard and thought what you did. And I think this is just a marriage that you would have thought would end in divorce. But I don't think there's a rebound romance there for Hassan where they can find another place for him. So it's sort of, you're sort of forced to stay together instead of annulling this.
At any point this year or ever, will we see the Heat beat the Orlando Magic, Ira?
No, he will never beat the Atlanta Hawks, the Orlando Magic, or the Charlotte Hornets this season. They will go winless in their division and try to win from there and probably lose another one to the Nets along the way. And again, you and I, you know, three of us will be accounting the Heat's record at the end of the season as to why they're wound up in a certain seed or out of the playoffs. And these are the games we'll look back on. This team has no right to be flat. And like the question after the game last night, like Dwayne said, when it was mentioned, how can you lose to teams like this? I love what Dwayne said. We are teams like this. We are Orlando. They came in with the better record. And that's the reality. This team still doesn't have an identity more than a quarter of the way through the season.
And Ira, we were talking about a lot today, especially early on in the show. And mm-hmm. I was kind of, you know, thinking or, you know, from my football side of,
sure.
Would Spoelstra ever bring Hassan into a room one-on-one with him and explain to Hassan what he wants him to do, why he's benching him? Like you're saying, he was playing, you know, decent last night. Oh, Vukovic gave him hell a couple times, but he was playing decent. Like, do they ever go in a room and he justifies to Hassan why I took you out of the game?
Absolutely. And they have done it, I don't want to say hundreds of times, but dozens of times by now. And I think Hassan's just an up-and-down player, and I think Eric is very rigid in the exact things he wants, which are more than 20-20s and stats like that. And I think that's sort of the difference. I think the two of them look at games from different perspectives, that when there's times when Hassan wants to cite his plus-minus and things like that to sort of justify it, other times saying he's contributing to wins. I just think it goes back to the fact that I just don't think Eric Spoelstra will ever feel fully comfortable with Hassan Whiteside. And I've always felt that this is more of a Pat Riley, this is why you're with the organization. Remember Pat Riley said, a matter of fact, guys, 2 years ago, he might have to sit down, the two of them, and have a meeting, and that lingered the entire summer.
Yeah.
And we kept asking. They said, nah, they had their meeting, we talked, it's enough. No, I think this is where you have someone like Pat Riley to really broker it, although it's tough on the coach. Because once someone else steps in, I don't think the coach ever feels as comfortable.
Ira Wenderman, he's powered by Anajar and Levine Accident Attorneys. Call 1-800-747-FREE. That's 1-800-747-3733. Check out his work in the South Florida Sun Sentinel. Check him out on Twitter at Ira Heatbeat. And you doing any more shows this week, Ira?
I am heading west first thing in the morning. I'm going to do Joe
that's right.
Rosen. Going to do Joe a quick hit in the morning and then out to Phoenix. And then I don't want to be the guy calling you guys for the morning show when it's 4 in the morning and the other person in the hotel room next door going, shut the heck up, it's 4 in the morning. So I do a little less from the West Coast. So I will, as long as this story keeps swirling, I'll keep an eye on it.
Well, enjoy Phoenix. We'll talk to you again soon, Ira.
I will talk to you guys. Thanks, guys.
You ever been to Phoenix, Crowder? You probably played the Arizona Cardinals on the road at some point, didn't you?
Yeah, beautiful stadium.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
That's right. Yeah, I remember when they built that like 10 years ago. I think they built that right before Jerry's World. And so at that time, that was the state-of-the-art stadium. Then a couple years later, Jerry Jones had to top it.
First stadium that I saw, because Houston has it too, I think, NRG Stadium, whatever. Mm-hmm. But they roll the grass into the parking lot to grow it and then it in. So you'll come over on a Saturday and you get to walk around and the grass will be in the parking lot and you get there Sunday and the entire field is inside.
That's
pretty
crazy.
Damn cool. Yeah, it was cool
as hell. Oh, man. Thanks again to Ira Wenderman for joining us. We'll